Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everybody. Now we're going to spend some time talking about the B in LGBT. We're opening up the phones for listeners who identify yourselves as bisexual. Let's talk about being bisexual in 2014. How is the label different from a decade ago? Do you think this changes over time, either personally or politically? How is it different from a generation ago, for that matter? What are you labeling yourself today or not? What does being bisexual mean to you? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We bring this up partly because maybe you saw the piece in the New York Times over the weekend about the British Olympic diver, Tom Daley. According to the Times, his announcement that he is dating a man and is still attracted to women has stirred up a discussion about the label bisexual. He and other celebrities who are or have been attracted to both men and women have been in the spotlight recently. And the label bisexual is perhaps, at least as far as this article suggests, slowly becoming more prominent and slowly becoming more accepted. So we thought we would pick up on that to take some time to hear from you about bisexual identity and the label right now, and how comfortable you are with identifying yourself as bisexual openly compared to perhaps a year ago, 10 years ago, for older people a generation ago. How is the term different for you from in the past? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or you can post, and some people are already talking about themselves and the B word on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And while your calls and posts are coming in, joining us is Ellen Rutstrom, president of the Bisexual Resource Center in Boston. Hi, Ellen. Hello from New York. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Really great to be here.
So is it a stupid question to ask what defines bisexuality? Do we even need a definition other than people are attracted to members of both sexes?
Well, that is kind of an old school definition. And within the bi community, we actually have a broader understanding because of the changes over time, as you mentioned. Our understanding of sex and gender has really broadened. So many bisexuals tend to prefer a definition that says something more like, I'm attracted to my same sex or gender and other sex or genders.
Is that different from what I said a minute ago?
It is, in the sense of that some people feel limited by saying men and women or two sexes or two genders, because many people actually believe there are more than that. And especially with the whole greater understanding about transgender identities and the expression of gender, we have a greater understanding of that. And the bi community has been very much a part of those changes and very much a part of that discussion.
So stay here while we take our first phone call, which I think is going to back up exactly the kind of thing you were just talking about. Here is Henda in Astoria, Queens. Henda, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks. It's a pleasure to be on your show. I am calling in because of that. It's funny that I was hearing it just after I spoke to someone. I labeled myself as bisexual for a while because I was with same-sex partners, but I thought it was only, you know, during very strong sexual moments in my life, and I just, you know, sort of wanted to connect with someone. But I am now dating a same-sex partner, and in fact, we're engaged to be married. But shortly after we started dating, we both discovered that this person is transgendered. And so I don't know if that makes me bisexual anymore, because I still am dating a male. He's choosing to stay in his female body, born and raised. And so I find myself just not wanting to be labeled. Maybe I'm pansexual. I'm sure that there has to be some kind of bisexuality inside of me, because you know, I must be open to some of this stuff. But I think that I'm hoping that everyone will recognize that a lot of people are somewhere on the spectrum, and it doesn't have to be just bi, just one or two, or, you know, just like your guest was saying, there could be the spectrum helps us because there could be more than just one label on on one person.
And do you feel like you're searching for a label for yourself, or that you want to just dispense with this whole idea of labels and you're attracted to who you're attracted to?
I would love to get rid of labels, but I understand their meaning. I understand that, you know, when you are dating, people want to know who you're attracted to because they want to know if you're attracted to them, or, you know, when you get to know someone, you do have to use descriptive words, and part of those descriptive words are to label, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're just going to discover more words for it, or maybe, you know, now more people are using words like I'm on the spectrum or pansexual. I like the discussion that bisexuality is more out there and we're talking about it, and it's not just, you know, a party girl on a Saturday night who, you know, decided to make out with her best friend or something. I think that the more we talk about it, the less we'll have to label one thing, or maybe we'll find new ways of describing it.
Mm-hmm. So,
can
Ellen,
I jump in there for a
second?
Yeah,
I was just going to ask if you would.
Great. And was it Hannah?
Henda.
Yeah.
H-E-N-D-A, right? Henda?
C-H because there's that H sound, but
oh,
yeah.
Great.
Sorry.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, because I think what you're saying is very important, that people, when new realities happen, people are like are trying to find a word to express something. And but I do want to emphasize that the bi community is very much aware of this, and we have many bi community members who are also trans, and we also have many bi community members who are involved with trans people. So this is not new to us at all, and we believe that our identity as the bi community has changed and evolved just as our understanding of sex and gender has changed. But it, and I do also want to say that it's also important that the bisexual label, I believe, is really important as a political label. And, you know, there have been two generations of bi activists who struggled to get the B into LGBT. And that was a hard fight. And we had to fight against extreme biphobia to get the B in there. And I think it's helpful to have that political label, so that people can get behind that, so that we have a reason to talk about our community in a united way, because our community is suffering in many different ways that we want to be able to talk about and explain to people.
Henda, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I often get, well, I don't often anymore. I do think it's changing for the better, but I have gotten pick a side, what do you like better? But I find that I am a lucky person because I get to just be attracted and not be, you know, if I'm attracted to female or I'm attracted to male, it doesn't really bother me, and I get to experience love in the way that I want to. And so I agree with you that bisexuality and talking about it is important so that people don't see it as sort of a party drug.
Henda, we're so glad you called. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And now I said your name right. And let's go right on to Ellie in Brooklyn, who I think is going to pick up on something Henda was just discussing about getting some pressure to pick a side. Ellie, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about tolerance, actually.
Okay, sure.
I found that people are becoming more tolerant of gay people, but the trans and bi community haven't been accepted yet, totally. So I want to know if...
By whom, mostly?
Like, it's still looked upon as an aberration, I feel like. So my friends and, like, what I read in the paper, that, like, even though there are guests like Laverne Cox on Orange Is New Black, it's still kind of new, and people aren't yet accepted, from what I hear.
So, Ellen Rostrom from the Bisexual Resource Center, you think?
Well, I definitely think that the B and the T still, we're on a learning curve, the society is on a learning curve about bisexual and trans people. I do feel, however, that the trans movement has done a great job and has been integrated in some ways a bit more into some of the larger LGBT organizations where they have trans projects and those sort of things. The bisexual community has not been taken on by the greater LGBT community as a population that should have their own sort of projects and emphasis. And that is, unfortunately, harmful to our community. So I'm hopeful that will change. But the B and the T are definitely, you know, still working on educating the general population.
Adriano in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. It's a pleasure to be here and talk to you.
And to have you. What are you thinking?
I think that bisexuality is it's a result of the society we live in.
In what sense?
A person being afraid of assuming that they're gay. And that creates the bisexual gender. It's easier to be bisexual than be gay in our society, you know? It's more accepted by straight people and by gay people than glamorize the idea of being with someone that also goes with women, you know? Oh, I won that trophy.
Are you saying that bisexuality for many people is kind of a transition point on the way to them accepting their fully gay identity?
Yeah, I do. And some of them goes on to be straight, but I think it's more of a societal thing than an inside feeling.
I respectfully disagree with you on that. Bisexuality is its own sexual orientation. Myself, you know, I'm in my early 50s. I identified as bi for over 25 years. I know bi people in their 60s and 70s. This is not about trying to be trendy or not deciding. It's about being able to express your inner self. And that is our inner reality.
And this is an old conversation.
Some people don't get that.
This is an old conversation in the gay community.
It is a very old conversation.
I want to play a clip of the columnist Dan Savage. He's been criticized for saying years ago that many young men who say they are bisexual are kidding themselves. They're really, you know, just holding on to something about heterosexuality. So in this clip from an Ask Anything video, he explains exactly what he meant by that. So here's about a minute of Dan Savage.
The problem for young bisexual men who are actually bisexual, 16-year-old bisexuals who are bisexual, is that a lot of gay and lesbian adults identified as bisexual briefly during their coming out process. It was easier for your friends to think you were bi. It was easier to tell your parents, perhaps, that you were bi than to tell them you'd gone completely over to the dark side and you were actually gay. Particularly in the 80s, like telling people you're gay sort of felt like you'd run away and join this separate parallel universe gay circus, whereas bi was Bowie and bi was the Rolling Stones. Like bi was still kind of a part of straight land. And so when you're an adult gay person who at a point in your coming out process identified as bi, and you meet somebody who's 15, 16, 17 years old, and they tell you that they're bi, then they're a male, that they're bi, a little voice in the back of your head goes, yeah, so was I. You don't say that out loud, but you think it. And I don't think you can help it. And it's not the fault of bisexuals that you think that. It's the fault of people who were not bisexuals who said that they were bisexual that creates that sort of qualifying, lingering doubt.
So the author and activist and sex and advice columnist Dan Savage. Ellen, what's your response to that clip?
Dan has definitely tried to educate himself a bit, and also a lot of bi people have spoken to him over the years. I think it's confusing to people that, guess what? Younger people are trying to figure themselves out. And I see no problem with that. I can see that, certain people going through, whether we wanted to call it an experimentation phase or just trying to figure something out for themselves about their sexuality, that they may not, maybe they'll choose one identity and then figure it out later. Oh, no, actually, I'm something else. People don't know that this happens, but in the bi community, I meet many people over the years who initially identified as lesbian or gay. And they thought that's what they were. And then later in their life, you know what? that's not quite who it is. That's not quite who I am. I actually, my sexuality is broader than that. So it's something that sexuality is not as stagnant as a lot of people want it to be. It's a very complex thing. So I think that what Dan's talking about, there is a reality that younger people may be figuring something out for themselves, but it does not negate the fact that bisexuality exists.
And that story reminds me that another reason this is in the current conversation is the new First Lady of New York, Shirlane McRae, who had earlier in her life been out as a lesbian, then wound up marrying Bill de Blasio. Just showing how fluid an individual sexuality might be.
Yes, I think that's a very good example. And, you know, I think it's great that she has, you know, talked about it to some extent. She hasn't identified as bisexual. I mean, I look and say, okay, she has bisexual behavior. It doesn't really matter if she takes it as an identity. But it's a really good example, and that happens quite a lot.
Elizabeth in Metuchen, you're on WNYC. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I'm bisexual. I've identified as bisexual for over 20 years now. But I was in long-term relationships with women, long-term relationships with men, and I happened to marry a man and have children and live in the suburbs. And for me, being bisexual is very much a fundamental aspect of my identity. But nobody knows that I'm bisexual because I'm a man and I have children. And I am faced with the fact that I either have to constantly, over and over and over again, come out to every single person that I develop a relationship with socially, or I have to sort of just decide that, like, that part of my identity is just going to stay hidden. Not because I'm ashamed of it, but because the effort of having to explain it over and over again.
Why does it matter? You're talking about an invisibility for bisexuals that's a byproduct of relationships. Because if you're bi and you end up in a long-term relationship that's same sex, same gender, or other, you're either going to be in a heterosexual or homosexual relationship. So it's going to look to others like you're either gay or straight. But it's important to you that other people know that you're not. Why?
Well, because it starts to feel like a denial of my identity. And it gets very emotionally confusing because I start to think to myself, am I hiding this? Why am I hiding this? Am I not hiding this? Am I forcing this on people who otherwise don't care what my sexuality is? And it creates this question of, is this really truly private or is this public? Am I not doing a service to the community that I identify as being a part of because I'm allowing it to stay hidden? Or am I maintaining my own sexual privacy by not saying anything? And it becomes very complex.
Ellen, you wanted to jump in here?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you called in about it because this is something that a lot of people experience. And, you know, especially, you know, you're a mom and you're dealing with that social, those social feelings about you and all. So I really understand where you're coming from. Because you want to be true to yourself and you want to be able to share that with other people. I think also reluctance to be able to share that also continues this feeling that bisexuals are not in committed monogamous relationships. And because it's hidden in these relationships that people are assuming are straight or gay. I think it's really wonderful when celebrities who like Alan Cumming or Rachel Evan Wood or Anna Paquin, they are all people who've gotten married to their partners, but they're very strongly identified as bisexual. And I think those are really positive examples so that you can be a married person and be bisexual. And that is not that doesn't disqualify.
Elizabeth, how does it come up for you? If you're in this marriage with a man, presumably monogamous, is it that you're hanging out with friends and you're watching movies and you want to say, God, Jennifer Lawrence is really hot, not just George Clooney is really hot, or that kind of thing? Or is it deeper?
it's more than that. It's, you know, when I had the experience recently of being in a car with a bunch of other moms who were coming back from a field trip, and as we were driving along the street in our, you know, suburban community, there were two women holding hands, and all of a sudden there was a comment made by someone in the car about, ooh, I see them all the time. They're holding hands. I wonder if they're gay. And that's like for me, identifying myself as part of the gay community, that's like a stab. And I have to say, I have to intervene there. I feel as though I have to say something about, you know, that's, why does it matter so much whether or not they're gay? They're women, they're expressing affection for one another. They could be sisters, they could be lovers. And then there's that little thing hanging on the end. And now do I say, oh, by the way, I'm bisexual? Because up until that point, it's been hidden unintentionally mm-hmm. by the reality of my life.
I understand. Yeah, it's complicated. Elizabeth, thank you so much for opening up on
Thanks
that.
For
I think
calling.
That really helped a lot of people probably identify some of their own feelings that maybe they didn't put into words for themselves yet as well as that. And Chris in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Listen, I don't want to oversimplify this, but I only use the term bi when I'm talking with straight people or people who identify as straight because it makes it easier to have the conversation. For me, sexuality exists on a continuum, like a many points on a continuum between two maybe polar opposites, and bisexual has never really explained it fully for me. And as an African-American male who is out as a bisexual person, I haven't really experienced this, like, greater comfort and acceptance because a lot of the fear is around AIDS and the fact that bisexual men are often seen as being predatory in some way and somehow being the ones who the purveyors of the spreaders of AIDS in the black community because they're on the DL and they're doing both men and women and they're not being honest about what they're doing. And so I'm actually surprised in this conversation to hear of a bisexual community because in my 47 years, I never knew of there being a community. I've always felt myself to be sort of this individual person who had sort of been self-determined in my own definition. And I found it very difficult to have conversations with black folks in the community about even the existence of this without the fear that you are somehow the reason why AIDS is spreading. That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much. So, Ellen Rutstrom, is there a community? You're president of something called the Bisexual Resource Center. The very name implies that there is a community within the LGBT community that is the B community. Would you say that's the case?
Yes, there is. And the BRC next year is going to be our 30th anniversary. So we've been around for a while. And I'm very lucky to live in Boston, which has one of the more vibrant bi communities in the country. But we're not the only one. New York, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, San Francisco, there are some great bi communities out there. Seattle, long-running organized bi communities. But we do not have the reach that often the lesbian and gay organizations have. And very often, you know, those organizations have developed in smaller cities and towns all over the country, and we don't have as large of a reach as that. But definitely within a lot of the cities, we've developed very great communities, and we talk to each other as well. The bi organizations around the country are connected, and we're able to offer support to people when they come to us. We get hundreds of people a year that come through either biresource.net or call us on the telephone, and we're able to connect with other bi activists across the country to help support people who are looking for connection.
And just some stats to finish up. You alerted us to some numbers from the Williams Institute at UCLA, which found the majority of people who identified themselves as LGBT were bisexual. And then there's a Pew Research Center survey of the LGBT population, which found a big difference in the perception of bisexual men and bisexual women, that a third of LGBT respondents said there was more perceived acceptance. So this is their perception of them, but more perceived acceptance of bisexual women than bisexual men. And I wonder if you think that's the case.
I think that that may be true in perceptions, but And I think that the gentleman who brought up the issue of being a bi male out there made some really good points about why that might be. But we at the same point as we try and make to draw attention to bi male experience to make sure that people do not discredit it, we want to see our community as united. And that we're trying to develop things so that our entire community can improve and be enhanced by it.
Well, great conversation. I really appreciate your being with us today. And listeners,
Brian.
I really appreciate all your calls and, you know, your opening up about being the people who put the B in LGBT. Ellen Rustrom, president of the Bisexual Resource Center in Boston. Thank you again.
Thanks so much for having me.
And a little behind-the-scenes note, she's going to switch seats now with our next guest, Peniel Joseph from Tufts University, who's there in the same studio at WGBH in Boston, as we get ready to talk about the War on Poverty, young again at 50 years old. This is part of our 1963, 64, 65, 50-year history series that we're in the middle of here on The Brian Lehrer Show. And included in this, we will play a remarkable 2.5-minute clip from President Lyndon Johnson's State of the Union address in which he declared the war on poverty 50 years ago today. Stay tuned.